pray for Paul and Erica and a blessing over their marriage. And Lord, we lift up children's ministry to you. Would you continue to help us have the wisdom and discernment to know what your vision and plan is for what comes next, and how to continue to reach out to this community as well as the young families. So we praise you. We thank you for all that you're doing. And we worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I don't know how it is in your family. When I grew up, and even today, I mean, when we have friends over or family, or and we know we're gonna host a dinner or something like this, we don't really prepare like in due time. You know, it happens. That's what happens. Okay, we invite someone, or someone invites himself. That will come Christmas. My in-laws are coming. So what happens is this. Oh, yeah, we're excited, you know, 3 weeks or four weeks or a month from now, they are coming. And we're excited and, you know, life goes on. The kids are there. They do their thing. We do our thing. And then they are coming. They're coming today. So frantically, we start, you know, cleaning the house so it looks presentable to anyone walking in. Some of you have kids, and you know how it is. Crayons, they just seem to grow out of carpets. You know, paper clips, they lie everywhere. Socks have their mind of their own. They walk in corners of the house. You don't even know. And so what happens is, you know, my wife and I will take on the kitchen and the living room and, you know, the rooms that our guests are allowed in, right? There's certain rooms they're not allowed in. And then the kids, you know, they have to go all over the house and find their socks and all their various things. But then there's always that pile of stuff that just lies there and has no place to go. You know, like the mail and the books you started reading that, you know, stack up next to your armchair. You know, like paper clips, artwork from your kids that you don't want to throw away, but, you know, in a week from now, they're going to end up in the garbage because they're not quite there yet. I admit it, my kids are not here, so I'm safe. But then, what do you do with this stuff? And what happens in my family, you know, I put this together, and it's usually a large stack, and I take it and put it in my bedroom. You know why? My guests are not allowed in my bedroom. So today, welcome. Does that work? Welcome to the Advent series, Advent season. Advent is a time of reflection. It's a time to reflect what Christ has done for you, what he's doing in your life currently, and what he's going to do. And last week, BJ shared with us what it means to wait for Jesus to come back. Today, we'll be looking at what the second Advent is. And I'm not just saying the second Advent. Today is second Advent, right? It's the second Sunday of the Advent series, so four Sundays before Christmas. That's what we call Advent. And Advent means, you know, coming or arrival, meaning that we celebrate Christ's coming and arrival. And most of us do that with the first coming. But today we're going to look at the second coming, which is the second Advent, on the second Advent. So if you get the whole, yeah, it's kind of confusing. That's my second language too, so take that. So if you want to turn with me to Matthew 24, 36 to 51, that's what we're going to read. It's going to be a hard message to read, so bear with me. There's always good news at the end. Okay, so, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Jesus is talking here, by the way, and he's talking about his returning to earth, okay? Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, For you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Now, therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Now truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, oh, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on the day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Merry Christmas. So today we will be looking at this passage, and it might seem odd to you that this is chosen, but you know, Jesus is talking about his second coming. He's talking about the second advent. And he shares in Matthew right here what it means. We need to be prepared, right? We need to prepare ourselves. So are you prepared? We're going to look at three things today. We're going to look at what do we need to be prepared for, the urgency to be prepared, and how do we prepare. So first, what do we need to be prepared for? So Jesus said that he will be coming back. He shared earlier in Matthew what the end times will look like, and I'll encourage you to read those. They're hard to read, but they're important because there's a fact in that he's coming back. And he says that we will not know when he will come back. And he compares his second coming with the time of Noah. And the time of Noah, the world looked only at themselves. They were eating and drinking, giving into marriage and marrying. Now, those things are all good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you should eat, you should drink. But this is a picture of what we look like when we only look at our worldly desires and forget about the heavenly realm and the Father. And that's what the world looked like. They were wicked, they were not righteous, and God only saw one righteous person at that time, and that was Noah. And God asked Noah to build an ark. You know, you all know the story. It's like Sunday school. That's what happens when you invite a former Sunday school teacher up. You talk about Noah and the ark. But he asked him to build an ark. And the ark is a picture of salvation. Just look at that. It's a picture of salvation, at least for Noah and his family and the animals that came with him. And further, it's not only a picture of salvation. If you're on the ark, you're safe. You know, the flood can come and you're going to be okay. But then there's also God asked him to build the ark in a certain way. And if you remember, some of you many seasons ago and some of you just last week, there's only one door, right? God had the ark built with only one door. Just like if we want salvation, there's only one door. There's not two doors. There's not three or four or five. There's one door only, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the door to salvation for us. And then, as Noah finished the ark, and God told him, bring all the animals, one male and female on the board. Bring your family. After they were on board, God said, now you're safe. And it was God who closed the door. It says in Genesis 7:16, and those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded them or him, and the Lord shut him in. So the second coming of Christ is this, that the Lord will shut the door. It is him who will close close that gate once and for all. Now for us, as we wait and prepare ourselves, the door looks a little different, right? Jesus Christ is the door, and Jesus Christ is coming back. If you're curious what the return of Christ looks like, John had a really good picture in Revelations. I want to read that with you. So John is speaking about, you got a picture, if you know Revelation, it's some of you don't like reading it because it's scary, and scared you should be. No, so then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, the one sitting on it, it's called Faithful and True. That is Jesus, by the way. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems or crowns. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. Those are the people who, you know, are believers, angels and believers. They're coming with Jesus. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what the second coming looks like. That's what the door of the ark shutting will look like. And it's not a specific place that Jesus Christ comes back. You can read in Matthew, the heavens will open up all over the world at the same time. You can't escape this. This is going to happen. And I'm not trying to put fear into you. I'm just trying to tell you what's going to happen. And I'm excited about it and scared too. Now, if you haven't claimed that yet, if you have not gone onto the ark yet, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior yet, today is the day. Don't hesitate. This had to happen, I guess. Don't hesitate. He will come back. And you want to be on the ark. Okay. There's also an urgency to be prepared. So when Jesus talks about yes, he will come back, we don't know when. And then he shares further that we need to be awake. We need to be, you know, there's an urgency. Don't fall asleep. And I'm not talking about this morning necessarily. If you're tired, you're tired. But don't fall asleep. What that means is don't succumb to the worldly desires. Don't succumb to sin. Stay awake. Hold this truth dear to your heart. This is real. He has given this to us for a reason. In Revelations, and I don't have that up here, he shares with a church, therefore remember what you received and heard and obey it. That's the key word here, obeying what God has given us. And repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will never know at what hour I will come against you. So don't fall asleep, because you don't know when he's coming back. And not only did Jesus warn us of this and try to stay keep us awake, Paul said the same thing. Paul sent a letter to the church in Thessalonica. Say that three times fast. He says this, now concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed by either a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. During that early church, during those years, there were people going around and saying, the second coming already has happened. the resurrection is the second coming. That's not true. I mean, why then do we have revelations? Why do we just read, you know, how Christ will enter and shut that door again, once and for good? You might hear today people say, you know, it already happened, or it's not true, it's not going to happen. Or we have false prophets coming and telling you, be prepared, the end is near, and it will be July 26th, 2017, or whenever the eclipse happened, right? It still happens today. And people are still freaking out about a certain day. We don't know the day. Jesus Christ made it really clear to us. No one knows but the Father. And I might be wrong, but I don't believe that God will just tell any modern-day prophet when that day is coming. You can correct me on this, and I'll take that correction in humility, but I don't believe it. So there's an urgency. There's an urgency to be prepared. And it is that Christ will come back, and we do not know when. And how do we prepare? How should we look like when we prepare? So Jesus describes two servants here. One is a faithful servant and wise, and the other one is wicked. Let's look at the first servant. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. So we have a faithful servant, and he's wise. And when you read this, you might think, well, those are the people in the church, right? Those are the pastors and the leaders. And you're correct. Those are also the Sunday school teachers, the small group leaders, the fathers, the husbands, the wives, the friends. That faithful servant is you and I. We are the ones who are called to hold on to the truth and share the truth and point to the salvation, point to the ark. And I know there's people here that fit that description very well. Not all of us, but some are here that do that already, that are prepared. Thank you that you do. Thank you that you are holding on to the truth and that you set an example for all the rest of us. I'm not talking about myself, by the way. But then Jesus is talking about a second servant, the wicked one. And it doesn't fare well with the second servant. He says, but if the wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, that's also you and I. Oh, he's not here. He hasn't come yet. I mean, Jesus was here about 2,000 years ago, and that's a long time. He's not going to come. I have time. I can just lay off things. I just can take the big pile of stuff that's next to my armchair and put it in the bedroom. You know that stuff is just things that you don't want to deal with? So as we reflect on the season, reflect on those things that you put in your bedroom. Because that's the room your guests are not invited in. That's your room, right? And if if you have a hard time thinking about it, I'll give you some examples of things that I see. You know, do you have a hard time worshiping here on Sunday morning? Do you have a hard time praising the Lord and singing to him with a loud voice? It's not the worship team's fault. Let me tell you that. But then Sunday after Sunday, you sit in front of, you know, in couch in front of your TV and you scream top of your lungs. To a football team. There you are, you screaming and shouting and celebrating and worshiping a football team. You might say, well, Stanley, you know, Russell Wilson, he's a Christian. Oh, fantastic. He's not Jesus Christ. What about the father who has desires to have a family? Who wants a family and have dinners and yet you come home and your little black wife, right? The little one. You know, I don't know how big they are, 5 inches. All you do is stare at that screen all night long. Right? Stare at it and read emails and news. That's not... Your desires are great. But you got to do something about it. And what about the mother who loves her children more than anybody else? More than her husband, more than her God. If you want to love your children well, love your spouse. So as you go out Sunday and reflect on what the truth is, that Jesus Christ is coming back, that he will judge everyone. Can you claim today that he's your savior? If not, today's the day. And do you know, you don't know the time, so be prepared. And reflect on what is going on in your life. Don't just put it in a room where your guests won't see it. But reflect on it and do something about it. Change it. I know you can do it on your own. There's many ways you can do this. But cling to Christ. Cling to the truth. Hold on to it and don't let go of it. He wants you to be prepared. So the second advent, not only today, but the one that we really, truly look forward to, is at hand.